All right, guys, welcome in Unpaved. I'm Sean Salisbury at Sean Unfiltered, Adam Sager at Adam G. Sager. Triple E's here. Laura always with all those great production skills and behind the scenes of getting stuff done as well. We'll get to JB in a second. You can get him at the real coach underscore JB as we do every Monday, and fire five hardcore questions at him and let JB let it rip. Great to be with you on a Monday. We're here 5 days a week. So if you missed today, which hopefully you won't, you'll be back tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, because we're giving it to you authentic and passionate. And Sags, before I get to JB real quick, what's going on in Florida, man? I mean, with coaches, I mean, what a rough week. Our poll question, I know, which you'll get to here after our JB interview, but what a rough week for tough on Miami. We know that happened, you know, just before the weekend, and then all of a sudden, Florida, Billy Napier gone. The talk about Norvell was the dreaded vote of confidence part of that. What's going on with McDaniel and Tua and the Miami Dolphins? I mean, I said yesterday, I can tell you what it ain't. It ain't Bobby Bowden. It ain't Urban Meyer at the University of Florida. And it ain't Don Shula. They're struggling. Thank goodness Miami's had a good season. But what a trip and what a way to play the weekend. Rough goings in the state of Florida, unless you're the Canes, and they're suffering it through it today as well.
Yeah, and you could throw the Jaguars on top of that because they got
their and then Tampa Bay, I guess the Buccaneers are like, whoa, leave us out of it. We got a big game tonight. So
yeah, luckily they didn't play on the weekend
yesterday too. Yes.
Right. Yes. No doubt. So I mean, it's just a lot of bad football right now down in Florida. And that's supposed to be one of the states with the most athletes, especially when you're looking at the college side. That's where a lot of the big time recruits come from, is Florida. So the fact that they're still struggling, Florida, Florida State. Miami's had a good season, but then they come out and lose to a Louisville team that they should have beat up on. And so it was just a bad weekend for the state of Florida in the football realm.
Good coaching job by Brohm, and not a bad coaching job. We'll get to this week because we're talking a lot of coaches. Did, even though in a loss, did Bobby Petrino show you something? And we'll get to it. Did Bobby Petrino, he knows X's and O's. They hung in there against Texas A&M, who don't look now. That's an undefeated team that's right in the national championship mix. That's why we do it 5 days a week. Let's bring in high five with JB. Okay, at the real coach underscore JB, as he does every Monday. JB, great to have you on, brother. I know you were passionate on your show today. Let me start here with the opener. Will Justin Herbert, after what you saw yesterday, be the reason the Chargers get where they want to go, or the reason they don't? Is something missing?
Yeah, they win in spite of them. I don't see them winning because of them.
Really? Steve, even after 400, did you too much garbage time, JB?
Yeah, like he throws the pick that cost him the game. That's the main thing we got to talk about. He throws it late. He seems to be a guy that is getting like thrown under the bus a little bit, in my opinion. This is why. Early on, we all depended on him, and then he failed and didn't win a playoff game. He still has yet to do so. Now you get Harbaugh, who's a guy that ran the ball 35 consecutive times against Penn State and won a national title at Michigan, who known for running the football with Frisco when he was the head coach there. And last year, start the season off, they draft Joe Alt. They run the football. They make an impression on the league. This year, I don't know if they've stopped running the football because of Joe Alt and Slater's demise and injuries, but I think they're putting too much on the kid now. And Vidal had a hell of a game last week, and then they don't get him the ball this week. It seems to be, and I'm a big Harbaugh and Roman guy, it seems like they're putting a lot on him now with an elderly, you know, in this league, Keenan Allen, a guy that's in Quentin Johnson, who's really inconsistent catching the football. And I don't know how good their tight ends are, to be honest. I don't know if they're there yet. I think that they got to run the football and make it more of a play action, you know, RPO, boot naked, get him on the edge type of offense with him. Not saying he's not a freak of nature. We know how good he is. But, again, man, I don't think he's the guy. I don't know if he has the it factor, Sean. I'm going to be honest with you. What are we in, season five now? No playoff victory? I don't know, Sean. I don't know if he has the. I don't know if he's the it factor. Do you?
No, I'm with you. And, well, it's missing. The only way we can gather it factor if we've seen it enough in big games, right? And we have a very gifted guy. With that, JB, yes or no? This is a playoff team in 2025.
Right now, I'm going to say no.
All right. We'll continue. How did the Giants lose yesterday, JB?
Brian Daboll, huge fan, and I've been disappointed. I fell off the Daboll bandwagon. This is coaching, nothing else. They have a talented roster. I said before the season, I'm a Daboll guy, and I can see Daboll getting this team over the hump if they keep if they stay with them. Listen, they've had one of the best drafts in the NFL last year. They had one of the best drafts. People went it went under noticed, in my opinion, underrated. You add Brian Burns with Thibodeau, and then you go get Carter. Great. Then you add Scataboo, Jackson Dart. I mean, who else had a draft like that? I don't know. If
and they're all contributing, right, JB? In all a big
contributing.
Way.
They found their QB, in my opinion. They found a guy at least if throw the pick and all that. I'm cool. You and I are cool with picks. The whole Jalen Hurts don't throw a pick in 336 attempts shit is so overrated because he throws fucking bubble all day. I want to see you throw in the teeth of the coverage. I'm fine with you throwing a pick. Was Brett Favre fucking pretty good? He threw picks.
But I want you to have the balls to throw a second one. That's yeah, what I mean. Right?
Yeah. And I think they found the QB. So he hit there. I think they found a big-time, gutty, nutty, energetic running back. Does it last for 5-10 years? I don't know. Right now, though, they have lost. They've left wins on the field, and it's Brian Daboll's pure and sole reason why is Brian Daboll. Last night, how dare you put that rookie in that scenario to throw that pick? Never needed to happen. Time management has been horrible by Brian Daboll this year. I don't know if he's because he's shuffling so many moving parts. I don't know. I'm not going to bash the guy, but I am going to be hard on him and be honest with him. That ball should have never been thrown because the play should have never been called, Sean, and the timeout should have been used by Denver. Instead, you don't even force them to use their timeouts. Horrible, horrible game management. And that's the reason they lost the game. There's no question. You're up 10, Sean, with 8 minutes. You're up you're up 18, then you're up 10 still with 5 minutes, and you lose? No way.
And gave up 33 points in the last quarter.
Don't happen in the NFL.
Does he survive it? Is this it for him, no matter what happens the rest of the year?
It's it because you got a rookie QB now and you found your guy, so he'll be the sacrificial lamb. As much as I like him, unfortunately, I think it's it.
Might have played his way out of it yesterday, JB. All right, what did you learn about USC football? I understand UCLA took care of their business again, played pretty good with our guy Noel Mazzone. They got bullied in the run game. JB, what did you learn about the Trojans against Notre Dame?
They are who I thought they were. That's just who they are. That's Lincoln Riley. That's who he is. First of all, you got to have a guy on the West. If you're not going to find an L.A. guy, I get it. There's not 1,000 Pete Carrolls floating around. At least get you a West Coast guy. I don't care if we're in NIL and you talk about, oh, the bag is all that matters. You can say that all you want. Unless you start landing modern day St. John Bosco and the guys that are right here in our backyard, the number one and two rated high schools in America, thrown there with Corona Centennial, the number three ranked team in America, all right here. And then you got Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, a two-hour drive away. If you ain't landing them guys and they're going to Alabama and Ohio State, you got a fundamental issue, and that's purely the relationship-based West Coast that we won with.
All right. Let me ask you this. Does Lincoln, if they don't make the playoff, does Lincoln Riley survive it, or would they have the guts to move on? What would you do if you're the AD?
Oh, I'm moving on. I'm moving on in a heartbeat, in a New York minute, and I'm throwing everything I can at Urban Meyer. I'm just telling you.
Like 12 million a year for like 8 years type of thing. JB, yeah,
100 million guaranteed deal or something.
And give him all the money he needs to an NIL and let it rip.
Let it rip.
How long till they win a national title if Urban Meyer's the coach?
If the portal rule changes and it goes to one-time transfer, this is you, me, Urban Meyer's wheelhouse again. Because now it's back to what we know. Now I got your ass. Shut the hell up. Discipline. Get some constructive, culture. Get guys to stay. That's Urban Meyer. See, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, all them guys. Don't be surprised if Nick Saban's back to either. If this one portal rule change comes in, and it really is a one-time transfer portal rule, now it's back in our wheelhouse, Sean. Now it's back to coaching and making boys men again. Right now, feast or famine. Go 4 schools in 4 years. It's a shit show. Let those old school heads get their hands on this thing again. You don't want Urban Meyer in L.A. I'm just telling you right now.
And then, and we will regulate that at some point. All right. What are we going to be saying 3 to 5 years about Drake May?
He's what we thought Herbert would be. He's big time. I think he's got all the tools. I think he's big time. And Vrabel will use him correctly. Vrabel's going to do what he needs to do because he's a defensive-minded guy. That's the problem I see. I love Harbaugh and all that, but offensive-minded guys sometimes screw up the QB because they're so invested and so close to the project. Sometimes you got to step away and say, hey, man, this guy may not be the guy we have. On defense, in Drake May's case, as a defensive guy in Vrabel, he's going to do the things that Bill Belichick did with Tom Brady, especially early in his career, especially without a lot of weapons on the edge. He don't have a lot of weapons, Sean, over there in New England, and they're very competitive because of the Bill Belichick kind of syndrome, and he played under Bill Belichick. I think he learned a lot as he played under him, not coach, played. I think this is a big-time upside guy, but I think you got to get him a couple more weapons. I got, you know, they got Diggs, but is he in the twilight of his career or is he in the prime? You can argue that, but I think you got to go get him another number one wideout and then and shore up that offensive line a little bit more. They're going to make moves. Vrabel will make moves. He knows what he's doing, but they're already better than anyone thought.
Don't look now. They may win that division if Buffalo decides to quit tripping. If they get caught up in this, don't look now. All right, JB, you got about 60 seconds, so I'm going to let you go. I know you've had a long morning, but every Monday you'll get this out of him, and you don't have to beg for opinion and real stuff from JB. How'd you celebrate No King's Day this week, weekend? How'd you celebrate?
I asked myself, I was like, damn, how do you know the difference between a king and a president if you don't know the difference between a boy and a girl? How the hell do you know the difference there? That's crazy. That's going to be a poll question. How the hell do you know the difference? We ain't never had a king here. I don't know if you realize that. King George or whatever in Britain. I don't know if we've had a king. We never had a king in America. I don't understand this whole thing. It's a fascination by this far-left liberal demonic fucking weirdos.
So you want them to crown these nuts is what you're saying.
How do you know what a king is, John, and you don't know what a fucking queen is? I celebrated by getting loaded. I drank a lot of Paloma.
There you go. With some squirt in it, JB. I know you got a case of it. Yeah. Underrated drink. Most underrated drink on the planet. Squirt.
No doubt.
Great stuff, brother. Appreciate it. I know you brought it to you.
You're going to take a look at Mike McDaniel and his whole deal? Like, did you like his sunglasses?
I'm going to take Mike McDaniel on the way designer? Not to do it.
Little designer?
Not the way. You know what? He keeps it up with my new clothing brand, my golf and leisure apparel. He can wear joggers as my influencer male model. How's that?
What are you calling that brand? These nuts?
No, it's called the Unpaved brand. We're gonna take him places he's never been, like physically, because they don't play that in Miami. So quarterback changes in the offing. Watch. Keep an eye on that one too, JB. Oh. We'll discuss it next Monday. Love you, brother. Great work.
Hi, brother. Love you.
See you later. Great stuff. You too, man. Bring Segs back in here, and that's the real coach _JB. Segs, Drake May, he's out of his mind, isn't he?
That quote needs to be out there, or that needs to be on a T-shirt. How do you know what a king is if you don't know what a queen is?
I saw somebody else say that over the weekend. So I said, well, wait a minute. If you don't know, why are you worried about a king and a president when you can't even tell us what a boy and a girl are? Who's Pat and who isn't? Classic. The other way, I celebrated by, well, without celebrating it. So there you go.
Right.
I could get into this, but we're going to save that for another day because that would require a 2-hour show. But I can tell you this, Drake May end up being the best quarterback in that class if it keeps up, if they build around him. And that's saying something because there are some good players in that class. He's got a chance. But Segs, poll question from the weekend, right? And there you see the numbers. The ball didn't hit the ground over 90%. Yeah. This is a big-time player that we obviously we haven't even scratched the surface with how he's going to be if you give him some extra players around him.
But yeah, that's the thing.
Poll question over the weekend.
More weapons, he's going to be dangerous.
No doubt.
Yeah, poll question from Friday. Can you lose blue blood status in college football, college basketball? 79.4% runaway with yes. So, and I agree. I definitely think you can. Now, it takes a while, in my opinion. I know some people are saying it could be 10 years. I think that's a little too quick, but when we talk about
if it takes 10 years, if it takes a If it takes a while to build a blue blood program, Sags, you got to give it at least half the time to lose blue blood status. So if you've been doing it for 40 years and not, you know, good, we talk, and you can't just overnight 5 or 10 years say they're not blue blood. Now they may not be performing like it, but they still get that status because at some point in time, everybody goes through it. Right. You know, a tough time. Just depends on how long that festers.
And we got today's poll question: who's next in the axing of a college football coach in the carousel? Is it Brian Kelly at LSU, who is just not going well down there in Baton Rouge? Mike Norvell at FSU, who got along with Luke Fickell also on the list. They both got the we're standing behind our guy, which always means we're standing behind our guy with that axe ready to chop when he's not looking. When our people say it's time, that axe swings. And then Hugh Freeze at Auburn, who is also really struggling. There could be a lot of major, major jobs open in this.
There's going to be. If you're one of these coaches, you just as soon have them not say anything, because when you get the dreaded vote of confidence, lose one more game. Hey, didn't Billy Napier start to get it after the beat Texas?
Yeah.
How long did that last? Speaking of which, Texas looked awful offensively this past weekend again, which we'll get to later in the week. But yeah, Sags, that dreaded. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how some of those guys survived. Brian Kelly may, because of all the money that's still owed to him. But I can tell you this, for a guy who coaches offense, that offense has been fairly dreadful this year. It just has for LSU. They are not a championship caliber team. Some people thought they were going to win it after the opening game against Clemson, that they were the favorite. Sags, they're just not that good.
Right. And you mentioned Clemson. Dabo could be on this list. He was a name we discussed when we were putting this poll question together, because another bad loss. I mean, it's just bad right now for Clemson as well.
Dabo, Lincoln Riley. I mean, they got pushed around. Sags, if they don't make the playoff and it keeps happening like this, what do you do? I mean, I love Lincoln, but I'm just saying, I'm just going to tell you, on our campus, the rumors are going to start to fly. Because you get now, don't let UCLA beat USC. Because that happens, you get beat by and get beat in a bad fashion, like you gave up 300 plus yards rushing. That happens, Sags. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't lose to both rivals in the same year and get your ass handed to you, especially the way UCLA started. Something to look at that we'll obviously visit. So, Sags, their poll question's up, guys. Go share with your friends, give your vote. And if you have a guy or a reason why, you can throw that there in the comments as well. And before the show's over, we'll get you to our betting lines for the night. And also, Sags, let's take about 2 or 3 minutes, because we're rolling rapid fire at about 12:25 or so. We'll get to a couple of your guys' questions. We're going to start putting them early in the show, so you guys pop on here as well. So there you go.
Yeah, Sean, we got to start. I mean, greatest playoff performance of all time, Shohei Ohtani, 3 for 3 with three home runs, had a walk. Oh, and then he also pitched 6 innings, 100 pitches, only gave up 2 hits, no runs, and struck out 10.
He is the best player of all time.
Yes,
he is. He's the most unique. He's the most gifted. And by the way, folks, he's about 6'4", 230, 225, and he can steal you 50 bases too. It's inarguable. There may be somebody who's a better hitter. Bonds had better plate discipline.
Yeah.
Somebody hits single. Everybody may have had something a little bit better on. I'm talking about in their individual categories. You know, Ricky Henderson run the base better. Lou Brock base better. Somebody else, you know, hit the ball farther, which saves up. But nobody's done both this well while they're doing it at the same time when they would be the best. He's already the best all-around player in baseball doing both. If he were just a pitcher and didn't hit, he'd win the Cy Young. He may win that at some point in time anyway. He's still feeling his way through this thing, strikes out 10. Not only great performance, and when the Mr. October himself, who had 3 home runs on 3 consecutive pitches against the Dodgers back in his World Series, when he's praising like an October like he did Ohtani, no doubt. No disrespect, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays. I know they did it for longer, but in this stint, there's no more gifted, better player at doing this than Ohtani. And you can't quit. Summer, like I said, Pete Rose, better singles guy. Tony Gwynn, better contact guy, all that. But when you combine the whole piece of the pie, he's it, brother. And everybody else is standing in line already. And we may not have seen his best yet, Sags, which is scary.
He's only 31.
Yep.
Only 31 years old. And I know some people think that's old, but in baseball, you can play, especially him. Like, he could pitch one night a week, DH the rest of the week, and do that till he's 40. And with the way these guys are staying healthy, yeah, it's just.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. It's to the point where everybody went crazy when it happened. But you know what's weird? It's when I say it's kind of died down. You know why? Not because people are. We've come to expect it. It's so weird. It's like, oh, and you know what? Would it shock you if he did it again somewhere along the line, struck out 12 and hit two home runs and a grand slam to boot? I'm just telling you, I think he's so good we actually take him for granted that he set the expectation so high.
And that's why it's so important that he left LA Angels and went to the LA Dodgers, because the Angels don't make the playoffs. And we're sitting here, we have another guy who's just as good of him as a hitter when he was in his prime and everything, and Mike Trout when he was healthy, that we'd never get to see in the playoffs because
two playoff games Trout's played in his career. They lost them both, and you haven't seen him since. And real quick, last thing, Segs, about Ohtani. Fans, we deserved to see him in the postseason like this, and we have the last couple of years. And don't tell me it doesn't matter. He's already won a World Series and doing what he's doing. Well, one player does make a difference, so there you go.
You mentioned it. Billy Napier fired from Florida. I've already seen betting odds. Number one guy on the list is your boy, Lane Kiffin. Would he take this job and leave Ole Miss?
You can't say no, Stegs, because obviously now I'm going to tell you what, he's got such a great following at Ole Miss, you know, the folks. Mm-hmm. They'll offer him enough money. It's not going to be the money, because even if he doesn't take it, Ole Miss will extend his contract 8 more years and pay him what he wants to. It's going to come down to where does he think he can win bigger, quicker, honestly. Now, the thing about an emotional coach, you've got to let go of that emotion of, man, I feel at home. And the question is, when he's sitting around with his girlfriend or his ex-wife, and you know, when they're just talking, or with kids or whatever it is, with his own kids, what is he thinking? I can do it here in his private lonely time. Who's he thinking about? I'm going to say that Lane Kiffin turns it down and stays at Ole Miss if Florida offers the job. Now, I think a lot of people are going to say you can get more at Florida, not just money, but I'm talking about more bandwidth to recruits, and makes sense. But I'm going to say Lane Kiffin's matured enough to where I still think he's got something to prove. Now, we can all be bought. I mean, they may blow him out of the water, and it won't make me hate him any less. He's opportunity. But I think he can win some big games at Ole Miss. They just let one get away over the weekend, and they've won some big games. And it's still tough shoes. It's tough to fill in to try and do what Urban Meyer did, even if you're not the guy after the guy. He's a guy a couple of guys removed. I don't know, man. Do what Dabo did at Clemson. It'll be tempting, though, because I would offer any job that's open, I'm calling Lane Kiffin at the top of the list.
Yeah, his buyout, if he were to leave for another job, was just about $4 million at the end of last year. So it's gone down a little, probably about 3.5-ish, maybe closer to 3. If he were to leave, he would have to pay Ole Miss, which, as we know, would come from Florida and so on. Bama, you just mentioned Bama. They made a statement this weekend. Is Alabama a real threat to Ohio State and others to win this national championship?
They absolutely are. Physical. Been kicked in the teeth, so they now know how to deal with some adversity. Mm-hmm. And they got a quarterback. It starts there. And I think the question was, well, can Kalen DeBoer deal with all that goes on with being the guy that replaced Nick Saban? And judging for the fact that I don't see Ohio State's really good, that they are. Miami showed some vulnerability against Louisville, so everybody's beatable. And the Big Ten ain't easy, so Ohio State's still going to have some tests go on. I don't think we have a great team. I think Ohio State's really good, and Indiana's proven they're good. But judging from what's gone on, what, 8-10 teams still in the SEC hunt, I think Alabama's at least starting to prove to us, after they were embarrassed early, that they are real. And the quarterback's a really good player. So, yes, they can. They absolutely can.
Yeah, they have South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and
they should win all four of those if they play their best football. They're better than all four of them.
Right. And Ty Simpson has now jumped to the top of the Heisman Trophy candidates right now, in my opinion.
And it looks like Kalen DeBoer is not trying to be Nick Saban. He's trying to coach this current team the way it is, and it's working. Now, who the hell knows? That's still LSU could come out and play great because Nussmeier's got it in him, you know, when they play. But looking at the schedule, they're probably going to be favored in all of them six. And I like the way they're playing, and their quarterback's really damn good. So yeah, look out.
You mentioned Miami lost to Louisville 24-21. Is this the Carson Beck that you kind of were worried about when we would discuss Miami early on in the season? You always said, but is Carson Beck still that guy that we kind of saw at the end of Georgia? Is this the guy you were scared of? And is this the guy that could lead them to a national championship?
Segs, you just heard JB talk about Herbert, right? Really right. Good statistic, big body, do it. But there's something missing during nut cutting time, playoffs. For Carson Beck, I don't know, Segs. I feel at times he gets overwhelmed in big moments. Now, if it was a wrong route, we can get to it. He shouldn't throw him under the bus. We know that. We'll talk about as the week goes on. Talking about, you know, the hot read, and I get it. But if that's the case, you've got to try to throw it in the ground, whatever, and you can't say what you said. He's a really good player. Right now, I would not draft him as a franchise quarterback. That guy's changing my franchise. There's something missing, and maybe it's just my optics, but I think he's good, and I think he can be really good. But I also think there's another level he has to get to for me to commit a first-round quarterback franchise to him. Right now, I would not do that.
You know who he reminds me of is Quinn Ewers. A guy with a lot of talent, but you just, there's something there. And where'd he fall? What, to the seventh round?
Yeah, that's something's who he reminds missing. Me of. Yeah, yeah, I can't turn my franchise over to, you know, I look at Bo Nix, and when he got, there was something about him that I said, man, that guy, there's a grinder. There's something with Carson Beck, talented, big, physical, but when it's, there's certain times when I wonder, can he handle the distress and the chaos that comes around with it in big moments? There's a reason why he was – I mean, now he's banged up, got replaced at Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason. I think he can be a good player. I would not, in a top 10 pick right now, invest my franchise in him. I just wouldn't do it.
New York Giants had a 99.3% chance to win that game with 6:28 left. They lost 33-31. They were up 26-8 with 6.5 minutes to go, and they lost. How the hell did that happen?
Well, they couldn't get off the field defensively. Shitty play calling. They put the quarterback in a bad way. Even though you do, the quarterback, even though he's a rookie, still has to be judicious enough not to turn the football over. This is, I've said, players win games, coaches lose them. Inexcusable. It's a fireable offense the way this turned out. You're dealing with young players, so what do you do when you're dealing with young players? It doesn't mean you back off and Jackson Dart has balls. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Ain't worried about his swagger. But you do everything you can to – you know how hard it is to give up that many points in one quarter in the NFL with these guys? That's hard to do. And then offensively, just to keep the ball out of their hands and not keep putting your place in harm's way. With guts and balls, sometimes the biggest guts and balls are back off a little bit and just use up clock. Whatever you got to do to get them to just not give them time, and then time management. You watched how Philly did their time management at the end, which was brilliant. Then you watch how the Giants in their game, and then you watch how the Giants did their time management. It was bad all the way around. Three good quarters, but we play four in the NFL. Brian Daboll, it's going to end up costing him his job when the season's over, because you can't lose games like that, especially again. And the Broncos are good, but they had him by the short hairs, and I turned it off. I quit watching it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then I went back. I tape him.
What's going on?
Yes, I was watching. I said, what the hell is going on here? Then you turn it back on. He said, what? Yeah. Coaches can lose them. Players can win them, and sometimes players screw it up too. But I can tell you this, I don't see how he survives this, but they got themselves a quarterback, I'll promise you that.
The Broncos had a 0.7 chance to win that game with 6 minutes and 38 seconds left. Brian Daboll has a 0.7% chance of keeping that job.
That's, and I got a 0.7 chance of winning Mega Millions, so let's hope that that happens. Works, if I can be the Denver Broncos or the Giants, you're going to give me those numbers, I am all the way in. A couple questions we have, Segs, and it wasn't a question. Isaiah's disagreeing on the Ohtani best ever. Listen, I didn't say that Bonds wasn't. Bonds is an all-around better hitter. I said it.
Yes.
Better plate protector, better eye at the plate. If you missed, he crushed it. He was going to strike out Letty. He had to walk in bases loaded. But of his overall hole, and Bonds is a – I think Bonds is a top three player of all. I got Willie Mays in there. I got Bonds in there. I do. The steroids or not. But Ohtani, to me, all around is a better player because Bonds doesn't pitch. You just can't do what he did. So there's that, and maybe you disagree with me, Segs, on that. But the Dodgers also – I hate the Dodgers, as Urban put it, but I hate cheap owners more. I'm not mad at the Dodgers for spending because it's working for them sakes. And they dismantled what was the best team in the National League all year long. They took them apart in four games.
Yeah, it was bad. Monday Night Football tonight, as we get out of here, we got Bucks at Lions, which is the game of the weekend, I think, in all of football. I mean, these two teams are playing at such a high level. Baker Mayfield, MVP leader right now. Jared Goff's chasing him. Lions -6.5 with a 52.5 over under. That line is huge at 6.5 for this game.
Which is strange because it's in Tampa too, right? Isn't it in Florida? Is that
no, it's in Detroit.
Oh, it's at Detroit. Okay, I was going to say, damn, they're getting 3 because I didn't even look where the venue was.
Yeah.
But that's still huge. That's still huge. I'm going to go with the points, though, Segs. What's the over-under again?
52.
I'm going with this is one of those games. It ends up 17-10. But indoor surface, weather would not be a factor even if it was raining outside like it would be somewhere else. They're going to play fast. It's give me like 2 stops on defense. I'm taking the over. This game's in the 60s. If I was betting, I'd say that Tampa keeps this close. And if they have the ball last, Detroit won't win. I just tell you, if they have the ball last, I get it. I think that's too big a spread, but Vegas must know something. But give me the over in this game.
Yeah, as Isaiah just said in our comments, the Bucs are missing a lot of players. So I am taking Detroit. Even I'll give the points. I'll give the 6.5. I think it's huge. I think it's too much. And I just double-checked to make sure I was right on the number. And yes, I am. So I'm going to take Detroit Lions. Just because the number is big, I feel like they know something, and I'm going to take the Lions.
I agree with you. That's why I'm taking the over. I'm kind of staying away from that number because it feels big, but also Vegas ain't stupid. Yeah. But I also know this, that you're going to have fun watching some great football and which defense gets a stop. And the Buccaneers, I mean, how long can you continue to survive with all your great players in certain positions out? But Baker Mayfield's been spectacular, and he's found a way.
You mentioned great defenses. Texans at Seahawks. Seahawks -3.5 with a 41.5. Think about that difference. That's almost an 11-point difference in the totals for between both games tonight. 41.5 for Texans Seahawks.
Yeah, I like this. It'll be a field goal. I'm taking Seattle at home, Segs. Now, with the betting line, I would take the Texans. I think this is a field goal game. Give me the Texans, but give me, if I was picking the game as a straight up, I'm taking Seattle at home. I think Seattle's right now a better team. Looks like they're starting to pick up. Points will be hard to come by. With a point spread that low, I almost think it's like a 20-17 type game. I would probably take the under, but if I'm betting it, I'm taking Seahawks by 3. Seahawks win at home. And you said it's 3.5, but I think it'll be a good game. And the quarterback's got to protect it. Both are starting to play better, meaning Stroud. Darnold's played pretty well. He just can't get careless and in a situation because he's having a Pro Bowl type of year. Give me Seattle at home.
Yeah. And then real quick, who you got tonight in game 7? Mariners at in Toronto.
Who's pitching for the Blue Jays?
I just had it up too.
I looked at it earlier and I don't want to screw it up and say it, but
Yes. George Kirby versus Bieber.
And it was Kirby. Oh, Bieber. You know what? It's been crazy. Give me the Mariners on the road. I'll take the Mariners to win.
I like that. And I think I like a Dodgers Mariners World Series better than a Dodgers Blue Jays.
Yeah. Maybe well that'd be too much hellified blue. Pitching too. Yeah. There you go. It'll be tough to beat Toronto there. They fought and scrapped, but the road team's done a pretty good job of getting victories in this series. Give me Seattle in a close one.
Yeah. Tomorrow, as we get out of here tomorrow, we'll hit on did Baker and company go up to Detroit and take on maybe the NFC's best team? Or now are the Tampa Bay Bucks the best team? Depends on how you had them going into this week. I think it's just a monster game. See who comes out on top there. And then we'll have our World Series set. And then I think something we need to talk about, and I saw you tweet about it. The Chiefs look dominant over your Raiders. Did we write off the Chiefs way too soon?
Can't wait to discuss that. It'd be a big topic of conversation tomorrow. And one last thing, the winner of this game tonight, to me, it gets the lead dog. I understand Philadelphia gets the lead dog as the best team in the NFC for sure, in my opinion.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll hit on the Chiefs. We'll hit on more college football as well. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Coach JB for joining us as he does every Monday. We will be back with you guys at noon Central tomorrow. Peace.